Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están reunidos en esta ocasión de hoy viernes 22 de marzo.
Good afternoon to everyone gathered on this occasion, today Friday, March 22nd, on this year 2024. And good evening to those where it's evening, where the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin is, and all those who are watching and listening through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 and other means of communication. Today we have the subject, the cornerstone, which was preached Sunday, November 29th of 2015, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. And he read the scripture of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Ephesians 2, verse 19, where he tells us, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." And there he draws a Star of David on the left side, "and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." And there he draws a cornerstone and a Star of David inside and below the ages, "in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." The cornerstone. That is the subject that he preached to us there by our beloved brother William Soto Santiago. You may please be seated. In the message he preached that previous Friday, November 27th, which was the introduction of this subject, the cornerstone, our brother William tells us, "Now we find that the cornerstone is Jesus Christ, and that the believers in Christ are also stones, because they have been cut out of Christ, the stone, and the mountain of that stone." That is, they have been cut out of Christ, out of that great stone of salvation, which is represented in the rock that Moses smote the first time to give water to the people. And by Christ being smitten, he has given the Holy Spirit to the believers in Christ. He tells us in the message, God's only provided place of worship on page 33 on this book. And in Spanish, is on 44. And I'm going to have here open all three of them, because they are three books or booklets on that subject. And we can go on seeing there what he wrote. He tells us, let us see. You know, the Bible is always right. He puts words in there. You've got to place it out where it goes to make the whole picture of redemption. See? So there on the left side, he draws Star of David. You're sealed in there. You're beneath the blood. He reads first the scripture. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto your redemption till you're redeemed." You're sealed in there. You're beneath the blood. You don't go out no more. And then, what are you? God's son in God's family, sealed in by the Holy Spirit. And there he draws, and this other one, on the right side, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And in this other one, he writes redemption. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages as well. The devil couldn't get you if he had to. For you are dead. Your old husband part is dead. And you are buried. And your life is hid in God through Christ. And sealed by the Holy Ghost. See, how is he going to get you? How are you going to get out? You're there. Glory. Now I'll leave that alone, just enough so you'll know what I'm talking about. Then, let us see here. Then, a new creation, not to a denomination, but to the Word. You're a creation of the Word. Because the foundation stone was laid in you before the foundation of the world. Predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. And there, on this other one, he draws a cornerstone, and he writes the capstone. And in this other one, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And he continues saying, it is in the version, the translation of each one of them is different. But I'm going to read only from one, so we can have only the translation of one of them. Because in those other two, those are the latest version, most likely. But I'm reading the oldest one he had here. And upon this comes stone upon stone, in each age, to vindicate that word that's coming up, just exactly as Jesus did in his age, which is the capstone of it all. In him laid every age. In Jesus was Moses, in Jesus was David, in Jesus was the prophets. Is that right? Look at Joseph. Sold for almost 30 pieces of silver, thrown in, supposed to be dead, taken out, went and come to the right hand of Pharaoh. Look, exactly, Jesus was, Joseph was in Jesus. And there he writes, all the ages of the Old Testament were in Jesus. All the ages of the New Testament are in Jesus, and in between parentheses, Moses and Elijah. And in this one, he draws a cornerstone right there, and the ages. And he numbers them from 1 to 7, and then the cornerstone, he writes 8. And above he writes, to vindicate the word that comes up in each age. Here also on this other one, he draws a cornerstone in the ages and an arrow upward. Now, let us see something here. Let us stop here for a minute. And we'll turn to the book of the seals. Later on, we will continue here in this message. Notice in the book of the seals, it tells us on page 349, at the bottom it says, let me show you a beautiful type here in Joseph. Joseph, the spirit man, the eagle, he was born among his brother. Just like the real church is among the other. And he could interpret dreams and see visions, and the rest of them hated him. His father loved him. Notice then he was out, ousted by his brethren, not by his father, out by his brethren, and was sold for almost 30 pieces of silver, thrown into a dish, and supposed to be dead, taken up and set at the right hand of Pharaoh. And because he was ousted by his brethren, see, he was given a Gentile bride, not of his own people. Through there, he bore Ephraim, And he writes, Latinos, Gentiles, and Manasseh. And there he writes, that is, he writes Latin Americans on Ephraim, where he writes Gentiles, and he writes Latin Americans. In Manasseh, he writes Jews equals 144,000. And below both of those, he writes, under Ephraim, he writes Gentiles, and under Manasseh, he writes Hebrews 144,000. Through there, he bore Ephraim and Manasseh, which was added into Israel. As Israel blessed them by crossing his hands from the youngest to the oldest, to cross the blessing from the Jews to the Gentile. See? Crossed his hands to the youngest son, which is the younger church to come in. The mother church stood in the son. See, brought forth this baby. Revelation 12, he wrote that there. And above he writes, Joseph, and his Gentile wife, and his two sons. And in Joseph, above it, he writes Jesus. And in wife, above it, he writes the bride. And above to the right, he writes, today it will be materialized in the Gentile and Hebrews elect. The two sons of the bride, Gentile and Hebrew. The bride of Israel back there become crossed from the old Orthodox over to the Christian way by the Holy Spirit that crossed Israel's hands. He said, God has crossed my hands. He had nothing to do with it. There on the left upward, he writes, the right equals upon the youngest. Then Joseph, rejected by his own brethren, his own people, took a Gentile bride. Just exactly what Jesus done. Rejected by the Jews, took a Gentile bride. Now, let's read something here. And oh, this is just kind of just what we are supposed to teach it, anyhow. And after they had held their peace, James answered. Now, you see, what had happened, they had went to the Gentiles. See? And the fuss was on because they were Jews. See? And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that Simeon Peter, had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. See, my wife's name was Broy. When I took her, she was Branham. See, Jesus take his church out, or his bride, out of the Gentiles. It's the scripture typed, just like Joseph was. And there he writes, Miss Jesus, and Mrs. and a dash. Because notice, she was Broy, because he calls her Miss Broy. And when she got married, well, she received his last name, Mrs. Branham. But there, he places, notice, she was Miss Jesus. But now, she is Mrs. N.A. Dash. Now remember that he comes and takes a people for his name. Now, which name? Notice, that is what he spoke to us on page 151. On the book of the seals, where he tells us, and Jesus' name on earth was Redeemer Jesus. When he was on earth, he was the Redeemer, that's true. But when he conquered death and hell, and overcome them, and ascended on high, he received a new name. That's the reason you holler the way they do, and they don't get nothing. You'll be revealed in the thunders. Where would the mystery of the name be revealed? In the thunders. Now, he has to say what the revelation of that name would be. And notice how it was shown, reflected, typified in that time, so that when God would be fulfilling it fully, there the revelation of that new name of the Lord would be given in the thunders, that is, in the teaching under the tent, which is the teaching of the thunders. Notice the mysteries. He is coming writing. There's got to be something to change this church. You know that. There's got to be something. Now, no man know it but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treaded the winepress and fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:13-16. There comes the Messiah. There he is. There he is. Now, notice here, in what we have been saying, regarding Joseph, being sold, because Joseph is a type and figure of the first and second coming of the Lord. And there he is telling us, he writes to us that all ages of the Old Testament are aware in Jesus. And again he writes, in Jesus. And he writes, Moses and Elijah. Now remember that there is at his second coming, because the Son of Man comes with his angels. That is where he writes, in Jesus, there goes that new name. Because it is in his coming when he comes manifesting those ministries of Moses and Elijah. Therefore, if all the ages of the Old Testament are in the first coming of the Lord, who is Jesus, then in his second coming, which is the capstone, then come all the ages of the New Testament, and therefore, there comes the name. Now, there, he also writes, on the right side, first was on the left side, now he's on the left side, and I'm on the message, God's only provided place of worship, and there he writes, Moses, David, etc., were in the cornerstone. Luther, Wesley, etc., are in the cornerstone. In other words, all the prophets were in the cornerstone in his first coming. And all the prophets of the ages are in the cornerstone of his second coming. But back then, all the ages of the Old Testament were in Jesus. Therefore, all the messengers were in Jesus. And in the New Testament, notice, in Moses and Elijah, he writes there, are all the ages of the New Testament. In other words, the messengers of the New Testament are also there in him, in the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Now, notice he goes on to say, and when he come, he was the fullness of the kings, prophets, hallelujah. The Godhead bodily rested in him. He come to redeem out of there a bride, a masterpiece. A masterpiece that says to Satan that when he says, days of miracles is past, there's no such a thing as these things you're talking about. Get thee behind me, Satan, see? See a masterpiece standing and guarding. And here in this message, in this other one he writes, or he draws a cornerstone in the ages, where it says, a masterpiece standing and guarding. On the right side he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Sometime the capstone will return. the head of all of it and receive the bride unto himself. And in these two, in one he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And on the other one, he draws a cornerstone and he writes the capstone. Which the woman is took from the man, a part of the man. Every gene of the man is in the woman. What makes a woman? And that's the way the word of God is in the church. What makes the church the bride? And he writes, genes, seed, genes of the word. Not a denomination, that's of the devil. Every one of them. And I ain't calling the people in there that. They are poor, deceived people, like Jesus said, blind leading the blind. And he could not call them out. Now, let us continue here. In the message of introduction, the cornerstone, our brother William continues to say, that is the water that he would give the believers in Christ when he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But this spoke he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. That is the water, the Holy Spirit, that he offered to the Samaritan woman in chapter 4, verse 10 to 14 of John. Christ is the rock which we have come from, as sons and daughters of God. Therefore, the coming of the rock of the cornerstone for the last day will be for his mystical body of believers in his second coming, just as his second coming was to the Hebrew people, who were the people of God of the Old Testament. And when it was time to appear, when his way would be prepared by John the Baptist, the forerunner of the first coming of Christ, then the cornerstone appeared. Christ, in his first coming, in his earthly ministry of 3.5 years, but he was nearly 30 years on earth. But he was manifested in his ministry when he was close to 30 years old, that is 29.5 years. And he had a 3.5 year ministry, which corresponds to the first part of the 70th week of the prophecy of Daniel. And there are 3.5 years left for God to deal with the Hebrew people, which pertains to the time of the Great Tribulation, where God will be dealing with the Hebrew people. As simple as that. But before dealing with the Hebrew people, he will be dealing with his church of the New Covenant, the last time that his church will spend here on earth. In other words, it is the final part, that final stage, where the church bride will be living on this planet earth. That is, it is the last time in which the children of God would be in these earthly bodies. Because with the last group, then God completes his work. While the sons and daughters of God were in these earthly bodies. And that stage corresponds to the age of the cornerstone, where the capstone, the cornerstone, will come to his church to give us the faith to be transformed and raptured, to give us the revelation of his coming, which, notice, it is in his coming that he will give his church that rapturing faith. In the message, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride, on page 44, he tells us, now, God made three Bibles. Now, there is a pyramid teaching that's nonsense, but there is a genuine pyramid, see? Notice, now, God, first Bible, he made three. There have to be everything in a three. Jesus comes three times. Come once to redeem his bride, next time to get his bride, next time with his bride. And in another place, he says that he comes four times. Because after the millennium, we return once the earth has already gone through that whole process that it will go through. Now, he goes on to say, next time, with his bride. Let us see here. in this study, in which I prepared for him on that day. In that excerpt that I had placed there, let us continue a little further on here, because there he writes, after this that we just read, he says, let's continue reading a little further down, he says. Now notice how beautiful, see? And in this pyramid was seven steps. In the Bible study, there he begins, there on the side, there he writes seven steps, seven ages. And there he draws the bottom part of the ages. Was seven steps, and then the king's chamber. And there he writes, the king's chamber, and a pyramid in the Bible study. And we're in the seventh church age, before the king takes his throne. And there, he draws a cornerstone in the book, in the booklet, and the ages and the seventh age also. And on the left he writes, Jesus comes three times. And remember, the pyramid never did have a capstone on it. Now notice, if he comes in his second coming, because in his first coming he comes to redeem his bride, and in his second coming, he says that he comes to take his bride. Therefore, that ministry of cornerstone, of the capstone, comes to give them the faith, the revelation of the seventh seal, the revelation of his coming with a new name. He comes to take her. He's not coming to leave her behind and for him to leave, but rather he comes to get her, like the case or the story of Romeo and Juliet, of which we spoke of yesterday. We spoke a little bit of it. Notice, from the quote that we read in the Book of Quotations, it says, someone placed that ladder and he writes, Moses and Elijah, to take her. See? When God fulfills and said that he would fulfill his second coming, is not to come and leave and not to take her. He comes to take her with him. Now, there is a work which was carried out in his first coming to redeem. And there is a work on his second coming for the claim. Now remember that that claiming work is a work that he is carrying out to claim everything he redeemed with his precious blood. But notice how the elect of God, by they being living stones, cornerstones as well, they also have that labor. Because, notice, what we were speaking about, Sister Hattie Wright, when she asked for her sons, while she was in the time of the seventh stage and age of the church, under the dispensation of the grace, under the messenger of that age, who was the Reverend William Branham. And she asked for her sons. She asked for the salvation of her sons. In other words, by she speaking the word, those theophanies were created by the spoken word of an elect. She created theophanic bodies by the spoken word, because by then the prophet saying, I'll give him to you, God was fulfilling what he had promised. Tell her to ask for whatever she wants. If that happened in the dispensation of grace, how much more so in the dispensation of the kingdom, with the power and authority that the sons and daughters of God will have. They will be able to create not only a theophanic body, but also an eternal and glorified body. Now, all of that that happened back then with Sister Hattie Wright can now be seen on a greater scale. And God has given us more light on what the power of the spoken word is in an elect of God of the age of the cornerstone and of the dispensation of the kingdom. There will be no limits in anything, except if the person already crossed the line. There is no way there for that name to be placed back in the book. Once it is blotted out, there is no way for it to be written again. Like the person that he blotted out, he crossed out. No, that person isn't there in the list to go to the event of the Hebrews. That is the activity in Argentina. And they said, don't worry, he didn't write down his name, he's not going. He said, write him down. He was wrote down and then he said, now cross it out. So there was no way for someone to write it down because it was crossed out. So that shows us something very important. The names are written there. Those names that can be blotted out in that section of the book of life. And he put it. Now cross it out. That person he crossed out there, there is no way for him to be put down there again. Now, our brother Branham goes on to say here, God's first Bible was in the skies, the zodiac. It starts off and runs every age. The first beginning of the zodiac is a virgin. That's how he come first. The last figure in the zodiac is Leo the lion, the second coming. Just before there is a crossed fishes, which is the Cancer age. That's where we're living in now. And he writes, the first and second coming of Christ, virgin, lion. Our brother William keeps on saying, by giving us the revelation of his coming, he will be giving us the revelation of the seventh seal, which is what Christ, the mighty angel who comes down from heaven in Revelation 10, speaks in those thunders. The content of those thunders is the revelation of the coming of the cornerstone to his church. In other words, the coming of Christ to his church to give her the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The cornerstone comes not in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh age, but to the age of the cornerstone, just as the first coming of Christ was in the age of the cornerstone of that time of the Hebrew church under the law. In the book of quotations on page 128, paragraph 1140 says, go into the prophet's chamber and watch them seven steps. Where did the guard meet the challenge to bring the comer into the presence of the king? At the top of the steps. And he draws a cornerstone and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And he writes, of the king at the top, and he writes, of the forerunner. And he goes on to say, was in the seventh step. And he writes, the forerunner. There shows that we've got to come again with that same spirit that was on John. He introduced the Messiah. He was greater than all the prophets. He introduced it. And we've got to come to a place again, to something that's going to introduce the Messiah. And how will the Messiah, the people that believe in him, know it unless they're constantly in the Word to know what he is? And he writes, how to know the Messiah, the Anointed One, with the pillar of fire. and he also writes there, the Messiah will be known in the word always, the prophet's chamber. And there he draws a small ladder. Now, he continues saying further on in this same message, next Sunday, we will be seeing with more details the cornerstone or cornerstone and the other things that will be happening in the age of the cornerstone, in that age where the coming of the Lord will be fulfilled, which is a secret, a mystery, which will be revealed to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at the last day. When Christ takes the title deed, the book sealed with seven seals, open it on earth, and carries out his claiming work, brings it to earth, and places it in the midst of his church at the last day. We're living in a very, but very important time, where at any moment, the dispensation of grace will be closed, and no other person can be saved. What is the messenger saying there? That at a moment, that at any moment, the dispensation of grace will be closed. See how when he was on earth, we were living in the dispensation of grace? And the times that he said, we're in the dispensation of the kingdom, we're in the age of the cornerstone, the thunders are being preached, the rapture in faith is being made known. Noticing all of that, he was bringing the revelation of how it would be when God would be carrying out that in a new age and a new dispensation. But when God is about to take that messenger, then he clearly places. That is why in some messages, Brother Branham says, then we'll see where we're at. Because when the bride recognizes her position, notice, when the bride by revelation, she is made known in what position we were and where is that we should go up to. It says there that when the bride recognizes what she is and recognizes her position, then the rapture will come. Well, she was in the dispensation of grace. Notice, the people and even the elect who were there, because the wheat is together with the tares, those three groups are always together. Everyone thought that we were already living in the dispensation of the kingdom. And when God brings the revelation through the teaching under the tent, then that man who is there, who the little sister tells him, the little brother tells the little sister, don't worry, there's a man here who can turn on the light. Then, notice, that old man, or that fisherman, who had much experience, he says to the young man, don't worry, he was desperate. That is there, I don't think if it is in the Feast of the Trumpets or it is the Rising of the Sun. Notice, he was worried because he couldn't see anything. It was dark. And he said, wait until sunrise. Wait until the rising of the sun. Then we can see where we are at. Who was going to let them know the position they were at? The sun. He is the sun of righteousness. In his coming, he is the shining sun. Now notice how he is showing us here, placing the church in the dispensation of grace, and that at any moment, he says, where at any moment the dispensation of grace will be closed, and then no one else will be saved, because God will have completed his church and time has run out. And then Christ will leave the throne of intercession, where he is as high priest, and will present himself to take the book out of the right hand of the one sitting on the throne of God, the title deed, the book sealed with seven seals. And he will open it in heaven and carry out his claiming work. Everything will conclude when he takes the title, opens it, and brings it to earth, and gives it to a man, gives it to his church, places it in the midst of his church. How will he place it in the midst of his church? Well, by giving it to that man, for his church to receive the transformation, the dead in Christ to be resurrected, and for everyone to be young for all eternity. Notice, what is the title he placed in the midst of his church for? It is so that the elect who are alive, when they see those who are going to be resurrected, they can be transformed. Without the title deed in the midst of the church, neither the resurrection nor the transformation could happen. Now the resurrection and transformation will indeed take place. There will be a full manifestation of God's power, of God's fullness in the midst of his church at the last day. And that will last after the resurrection. We will be on earth for 30 to 40 days already transformed. Just like after Christ resurrected, he spent 40 days with his disciples, speaking to them about the kingdom of God and also carrying out wonders and signs. In other words, there will be a wonderful time promised for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at the coming of the cornerstone, that is, the coming of the Lord to his church at the last day, in the stage that goes after the seventh age of the church, and the divine cycle will be closed in the West. In the message of an excerpt that I also placed here in this Bible study of this day, which is in Revelation chapter 4, number 3. In that excerpt, he says, and notice in the pyramid when he built it, in time of Enoch, every stone was in there. They could measure them things just exactly and tell the words and things. Everything is complete but the headstone. Why? You notice on your dollar bill, take out and look, the caps off of it. Why? It never was capped. Christ is the headstone that was rejected. He was rejected stone, and he writes Christ. He is coming back pretty soon. And he draw the cornerstone and the ages, and he writes the last three, 1, 2, 3, and above, number 4. Watch how that church, way back there in the Lutheran age, way wide at the bottom, then become minority, little bit more minority, little bit more until it comes right down. After it leaves the Pentecostal age, then comes right down to every stone to fit right in, to put that cap in there. A church that'll bring Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, just as perfect as he can be. Now, he was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And our brother William continues saying, just as the first coming of Christ was in the east, with the people of the old covenant, the Hebrew people, the second coming of Christ is to his church at the last day, which is in the stage pertaining to the continent of the Americas, which is in the west of the planet Earth. It is in the west where the light will shine. Just as it shone there in the first coming of Christ in the east, will shine in his second coming in the west, according to the word of God. Therefore, we are waiting for the cornerstone to crown the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at this end time. Israel refused to be crowned by the cornerstone in his first coming, but everything worked out for good. It worked for the work of redemption to be carried out, for God to save Israel and save his church. Therefore, let us be prepared, because at any moment Christ will complete his church, leave the throne of intercession, take the title deed, the book sealed with seven seals, open it in heaven, and carry out his claiming work. He will bring the title deed back to earth again. In other words, while he was carrying out the work of intercession there in heaven, the title deed was not on earth yet. The claiming work had not been carried out, because the claiming work is done with the title deed. You cannot claim something unless you have the title in your hand. to claim a piece of land or something. Now, with this title deed, which is given to that man, and that man has eaten it, and he has been told to prophesy before many people, nations, and tongues. There is where that claiming work is carried out. The one that God has given to Adam was lost by Adam. God took it. That is the title deed. When Adam sinned, he went back to the hands of God, and he has been in the right hand of God for all these years, 6,000 and something years. But it will return to the human race, to the earth, for the physical redemption of the body, to have eternal, immortal, glorified, and young bodies for all eternity. In the message, which we also placed an excerpt here, in this Bible study, let us see here. Which he titled it, The Message of Grace. He tells us, and as we read on further, we find out that God said, Zerubbabel has laid the foundations with his hands. He also shall bring forth the headstone. I want you to notice, he never said he shall bring forth the cornerstone. He shall bring forth the headstone. And we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and he's also the headstone. Now, if we will think for a few minutes that the seventh church message was to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. In other words, rebuild the church again under the power of the Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by organizations, not by denominations, but by the Holy Spirit. God will bring forth the church in this last day. Zerubbabel, the prince with Joshua, was the one that was to bring forth this headstone. He had laid the foundation. He had took the people back to the foundation in type, which we all know that these candlesticks and so forth represented both Jewish and church. And he writes, candlestick equals the Jews and the church. Now notice a duality there as well, of which we see in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 and on. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees. Now notice there is speaking to us about those two olive trees. It says, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Yesterday, in that chat that we had, we were seeing something there about those two candlesticks in the most holy place, those two olive trees. Something came out there and noticed. Then I came here to the office and immediately I searched. And there, notice how he showed me there what that represents. Because notice, the ministries of Moses and Elijah are represented there in those two olive trees. But those two candlesticks that are also there before the presence of God, notice, they represent the Jews and the church. Because it is in his coming when he comes for his church. But remember that he is a messenger to Israel. But since his church is about to be raptured, well, he comes for her. Now, it is the ministry that would operate, says Brother Branham, in favor of the church as the seventh seal. Because he says that what the seventh seal is to the church, which is the coming of the Lord, is the seventh trumpet for Israel, Moses and Elijah. And there, we have that double blessing, which shows us that in his second coming, he will be carrying out first, in the midst of the church bride among the Gentiles, but that the Hebrew people will see him and say, this is the one we are waiting for. Now, all of that, notice, let us continue a little bit more, he says. They were olive branches, the Bible said here, and the olive branch, we are the wild branch that was grafted into the root of the tamed olive trees, Gentiles. And out of these two branches come censer pipes going into the seven golden candlesticks to give light to the seven church ages. Now remember in our teaching on the lessons that we've just been through that we took the Great Pyramid and studied that for a while that Enoch must have built and the headstone was never put in the pyramid. I've been there. The architecture of it could never be replaced till this day. We have no machines that could build a pyramid, no powers, less the atomic power, that could build a pyramid, because it's too gigantic. And he writes atomic power there. Stones that would weigh tons and tons and tons stand way in the air, so put together that even a thin razor blade could not. And they're not cemented. They're just cut so that they join one with another. That's the way the body of Jesus should be. So cut by the Holy Spirit, by God's great instrument and tool, that we've be joined as one person. We're not divided. We should be one person. And it goes to show that no machinery can do that way. It takes God to do that. No mechanics of organization, no lodges, none of these things can ever do it, as good as their intentions are. They can never do it, because that it takes God to do this, the Holy Spirit. That is why he says there that those angels are the ones who make the segregation, the separation between right and wrong. And he says that the only one who can do that is the angel of the Lord. He is the only one who can say who is right and who is wrong. Notice, it is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the pillar of fire, the one that does that work. It is God. It is what he says there. I don't think you have a dollar bill in your pocket, but yes, I do. I have a dollar bill. I'm sorry. On the back of this dollar bill, you'll see the seal of the United States on the left side. Looking toward you, from me, it'll be on the left side. Yours is right, is the eagle. And also in there, the coat of arms and so forth. But on this side here, right side to me, you see the pyramid. And you notice above the pyramid is the capstone. And beneath there says the great seal. Even on our currency that we have to recognize, no infidel can stamp out Christianity. Every letter that you date, dates the birth of our Lord. Every calendar, everything speaks of Him. And even on our currency, the headstone, which is Christ. Why did not they put the headstone on the pyramid? Because the headstone was rejected when it came. And he writes, Christ is coming. And he draws a cornerstone. But now, according to the prophecy, there will come the headstone. And I want you to notice that when the headstone comes, the prince that's going to cry out the message will cry out, grace, grace, for it's by grace are we saved. that not of work, lest any man should boast. And the message of grace has been tramped under the feet of men until it's become a disgrace. Some of them runs out into eternal security, some runs out into everything. But the true message of grace remains the same, and there is where Satan tries to knock it out from the church. But it's the grace of God that we're all saved by. And in the message, the unionist, which we placed for him here as well, I place this excerpt in this Bible study. Unionist. The Reverend William Branham tells us, now, the coming of the Lord Jesus is so imminent, the coming of judgment. He's calling his elected together in unionist with himself, with the same kind of ministry he had. You know how I shaped in the church ages here not long ago a big tower that was built called the pyramid, but the headstone was never put on it. Remember how the Lutherans come, then the Wesleyan in the minority, and then down to Pentecost. And now, what is he doing? Calling from that. What did he do? He called out the elect to make the Lutherans. He called out the elect out of the Lutherans to make the Wesleyan. And he called out the elect out of that to make the Pentecostals. And now he's calling the elected Pentecostal out to make the headstone. And there he writes, chosen to form the cornerstone. And he does a cornerstone and the ages and the last three. To make the headstone to come into it. And bury some kind of a ministry drop right in on it. Calling his children from all denominations and all walks of life. What has he done? He has placed with them a true teacher, true prophets who stay with his word, the Bible. My sheep hear my voice, said Jesus. If that was his voice then, it's his voice now. Anything contrary to that voice is not sheep food. They won't follow it. Oh, brother, from east, from west, out of every denomination, out of every organization, they've come from the east and west, gathering together. We'll feast with the king to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face aglow with the love divine, blessed partakers of his grace, and gems in his crown to shine. Jesus is coming soon. Our trials will be over. Hallelujah. What if our Lord this moment would come for those who are free from sin? Then would it bring you joy or sorrow and great despair? But when our Lord in glory comes, we'll meet him up in the air. Hallelujah, yes sir. And there he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And in the message here, he writes, in the age of the cornerstone. Let us see if I can find it real quick here. Where he wrote to us, in the age of the cornerstone. Yeah, we can't find it, we can read it later on. But notice, that is also in Revelation chapter 4, first part. There is a place where he says that we shall find him. He says, in the age of the cornerstone. Now, our brother William continues saying here, it's going back to how it was before the fall in the Garden of Eden, to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb with Christ to heaven, to the house of our Heavenly Father, where Christ and His church will be crowned to rule over the earth, over the throne of David and kingdom of David, over Israel and over all nations. That will be done by the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, in His coming. Now, he continues saying, he came to the Hebrew people 2,000 years ago. He will come to his church 2,000 years later, and after the marriage supper of the Lamb, he will return with his church to establish, to begin the millennial kingdom. All of that will be done by the cornerstone, Jesus Christ our Savior. The cornerstone.
Nos ponemos en pie.
Let us stand.
Y así dejamos
and
en
thus
este tema,
leaving this subject,
la piedra
the cornerstone,
a nuestro preciado
our dear
hermano
brother
y amigo,
and friend,
el doctor
Dr.
William
Soto
Santiago.